I'd like you, please, to turn with me to four passages in the New Testament, starting in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 5, and verse 4. But when he, that is Jesus, ceased speaking, he said to Simon, "Draw out into the deep water and let down your nets for a haul." And Simon answering said to him, "Master, having labored through the whole night, we've taken nothing, but at thy word I will let down the net." And having done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. And they beckoned to their partners, who were in the other ship, to come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they were sinking. But Simon Peter, seeing it, fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." For astonishment had laid hold on him, and all those who were with him at the haul of fishes which they had taken, and in like manner also on James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Fear not, henceforth thou shalt be catching men." Having run the ships on shore, leaving all, they followed him. Chapter 18 of the same gospel, Luke 18, verse 9. And he spoke also to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and made nothing of all the rest of men. This parable: two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a tax gatherer. Pharisee, standing, prayed thus to himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as the rest of men, rapacious, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax gatherer. I fast twice in the week, I tithe everything I gain." The tax gatherer, standing afar off, would not lift up even his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "O God, have compassion on me, the sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than that other. For everyone who humbles exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted." And in 1 Timothy, first epistle of Paul to Timothy, chapter 1, page 1434, verse 15, "Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the first." And just I'd like us to turn to one last scripture in the book of the Acts. And chapter 17, this is Paul at Athens, verse 30. "God, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, now enjoins men that they shall all everywhere repent, because he set a day in which he's going to judge the habitable earth in righteousness by the man whom he has appointed, giving the proof of it to all in having raised him from among the dead." I'd like to speak to you tonight about three men who realized their sinful condition. Two of them were actual real men, and one of them was a man in a parable or a story told by the Lord Jesus. But there are three persons here who recognize their sinful condition. The first I read about was Peter. The Lord had already been in his house, in Luke's account, and had raised up, healed his mother-in-law. So he already had some idea of the power of the Lord Jesus. But here the Lord comes and speaks to him personally. And I would suggest to you that the effect of the Lord speaking to you personally is to make you realize your sinful condition. He tells him to do something that Peter didn't think was necessary. He'd labored all the night and they got nothing. And he thought, really, I expect he thought, that it was quite a useless thing to do. But nevertheless, because Jesus said so, he'd do it. And of course, we know, and we are told, there was a great haul of fishes, great results from listening to the Lord. But the Lord wanted something more than that to be worked out in Peter's heart. And the Lord Jesus tonight wants something more deeply to be worked out in your heart than merely that he's able to perform great miracles. It's a wonderful thing that what he did. And what the Lord did was wonderful. But the Lord Jesus wanted to draw Peter's heart to himself. But before he could do that, he needed to make Peter aware of his sinful condition. And one of the things about the appeal of God in the gospel is to make you aware of your sinful condition. And Peter says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, Lord." Now, I don't think he wanted the Lord to go away, but I think he wanted the Lord to realize, and he realized, how unfit he was and how sinful he was for the presence of the holy, spotless Lamb of God, the one who was going to take away the sin of the world. Now, I think really what he means is that he was a sinner unworthy of the presence of the Lord Jesus. And I've been there. And it's a wonderful thing, my dear friends, if you've been there and realised your sinful condition, your need of a saviour, and your utter, hopeless helplessness before God. "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Peter had come to realise something about himself that maybe he'd never realised before. And you know, there's plenty of people in Worthing tonight that don't realise they're sinful men and women and children. Plenty of people you'll meet in the street who think they're quite good. And that brings me on to my next scripture, which was a story told by the Lord. And the Lord, when he tells a story, a parable, there's always a meaning in it, and there's always an edge to the word of the Lord. Two men went up to the temple to pray. And here we have a comparison. The man that said, "What a good chap am I," really prayed to himself, and we're told that. It wasn't a prayer or a cry to God. It was telling God, really, how good he was and how he didn't need saving and he didn't need any help, thank you, and he could manage quite well, okay. Well, there's a lot of people like that, and maybe you or I have been like that, and maybe there's somebody here like that, that think they can get to heaven by their own means. That's really how I would interpret this scripture. That this Pharisee thought he was quite good enough and would get God's approval by his own efforts. That's another fallacy that's well and truly around, that people can do something to earn or merit the salvation of their soul or the forgiveness of their sins. And it's taught by many people. However, it's very clear from Scripture that there's nothing that you or I can do. Peter realized it. He said, "I'm a sinful man. Depart from me, Lord. I'm not fit for your presence." He wasn't saying, "Oh, well, you know, in a few years' time I might be a bit better." No, that's not what Peter was saying at all. And this man, this Pharisee, he had no idea of his own shortcomings, no idea of his sinful condition, no idea as to how God viewed him. I would like you tonight to get God's view of yourself. I need God's view of myself, and it's not a bad thing even for believers to get God's view of themselves. It helps us to keep on, as we said this afternoon, the straight and narrow. Wonderful thing that this tax gatherer, he realised what he was. He realised he was a sinful man. He didn't need to be told that. He wouldn't even lift his eyes to heaven. He was willing to take a low place. He was willing to take the position of being a sinner. And he got justified. The Pharisee didn't go home justified. He didn't feel the need for it. But this man in the Lord's story felt the need to have his sins forgiven. I hope, if there's someone here that doesn't know the Saviour, that hasn't had their sins forgiven, that you desire that. that you want to get right with God, that you want to know what it is to have the peace and joy and blessing of the forgiveness of your sins. Because that's what God's message of forgiveness is all about. Well, it says, the Lord said, I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified rather than that other. Well, great thing to know what it is to be justified. And it's God who justifies. I can't justify you. You can't justify me before God. God alone can do it. And he has a righteous basis. The good news in the gospel is that God has a righteous basis on which he may justify you. You may have your sins forgiven. It's because the Lord Jesus has been here. Wonderful thing. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. Wonderful day it was when Jesus was born. When Jesus came into this earth. The very Son of God arrived in this world by way of a manger, came into this world in humble, lowly conditions. The very Son of God, creator of the universe, came into manhood in this wonderful way. Yet, God, he remained in his person. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know and realize that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. He's not a mere man, not just a holy, perfect man. He is the Son of God. And he says later on in Luke 5, do you not know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins? Now, on earth, in time, sins may be forgiven. I pass on now to the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy, he's writing to a young man. And he's writing to strengthen and encourage a young man in a difficult day. And many here, some here are young men, and you're living in a difficult day. But nevertheless, God would encourage you, because he says to Timothy, faithful is the word. The word of God is true, it's faithful. You might ignore it, you might disobey. I have, but the word of God is faithful. Faithful is the word, and worthy of all acceptation. God's message of love and grace is worthy of your acceptation. The Apostle Paul was on a very bad course. He was on a road of persecuting Christians. And he was on the way to Damascus one day when the Lord Jesus spoke to him. Peter was fishing and the Lord Jesus spoke to him. Saul of Tarsus was persecuting and the Lord Jesus spoke to him. And it changed both their lives. We read in about Peter, they pulled their boats up on shore and leaving everything, they followed him. The idea in the gospel is that you should come to know Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord and follow him. Whatever good is it if you just go away and say, well, it's been a good time, but it doesn't make any difference. That's just like the Pharisee. He went home thinking quite well of himself. He wasn't at all feeling the need of any help from God or that he needed to follow somebody like Jesus. Well, Saul of Tarsus was on the road to Damascus and a light shone about him and he heard a voice. Well, it's a wonderful thing if you've had some sense of the glory of the Lord Jesus, of Christ in glory, and you've heard his voice speaking to you, because it will change your life. Well, it's a wonderful thing when God speaks. Faithful is the word. And worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that really is the whole purpose of the Lord Jesus coming here below, to save sinners. Son of Man, he says, has come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you want to be saved, You need first to realize you're lost. Peter did. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. Realized, expresses Peter's realization that he needed help, that he was confronted by somebody who had touched his heart. And I would like tonight the Lord Jesus to touch your heart. Because if you're going to come into the blessing that we sang about at the outset of this occasion, you need to have your heart touched by Christ. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Well, that's easy to relegate it to everybody else. And the Apostle Paul doesn't. He says, of whom I am the first. Meaning, not the first in the line, but the worst, probably. Because he was a persecutor. For this reason, mercy was shown me. God showed mercy to a man who was persecuting believers on the Lord Jesus. And if he can do that to Saul of Tarsus, he can show mercy to me and to you. Wonderful thing it is to know what it is, the mercy of God, of not getting what you deserve. That's the judgment of God. And that's why I read to you finally in Acts. Because here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to a Gentile audience, Greeks in Athens. And Greeks were known for philosophy. And that kind of thing tried to find its way in among the believers. Paul writes the Colossians about that. But here was the Areopagus, this great centre of culture, philosophy, and what have you. But the Apostle Paul speaks about repentance. God having overlooked times of ignorance. You see, the Lord Jesus came in the fullness of time, God sent his Son. And the times of ignorance were over. God's love was manifest in Christ. The Lord Jesus dealt with the sin question on Calvary's cross. And now God enjoins men that they shall all, everywhere, repent. No exceptions. Not Pharisees excepted. All, everywhere, repent. You know, in a sense, Peter saying, depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man, is an evidence, really, that he was repentant, that he realized his condition and wanted to be right. The man in the parable, the tax gatherer, realized he was a sinner and asked for mercy. Paul did the same. So it's open to you to seek the mercy and blessing of God tonight. Because time is short. We were sobered this afternoon as we read about how Peter said what would happen. And it's happened. And it's happened in front of our eyes. And it's happening today. So we believe we're in the last days. The last days of the church's sojourn, I would say, history on earth. The Lord is about to come. And he's coming for all those who belong to him. Are you going to be amongst those who'll be taken with him to heaven? 1 Thessalonians 4 and the verses that follow verse 15 onwards are very, very clear as to what's going to happen. I'm not going to go over them now, but I want to bring the point home to you that the Lord is coming and one day that he will have come. And are you going to be left behind? It's a very real matter. Because the Lord will come, and he will come very soon. And if you don't know him as your saviour, it will be too late. Wonderful prospect the Christian has of seeing Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the one who suffered and died for us, the one whose precious blood has been shed on Calvary's cross, the one who's been into death and has been raised again for our justification, that person. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming for all who belong to him. And the question for you to answer tonight is, will you be among them or will you be left behind? How terrible it will be if in the morning your parents were taken to glory and you were left behind. It's a very real thought. I remember as a child being quite scared. God started to work in my soul and I started to realize that I wasn't saved and that I didn't know the Savior. Well, in his mercy, he spoke to me and I came to know him as my Savior. And I would commend him to you because he's done everything for me and he can do everything for you. Moreover, God not only has sent his Son, but he's given his Spirit. And he gives us his Holy Spirit to those who obey his word, those who put their faith and trust in Jesus, those who repent, receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit, one who will be in you and with you every day of your life. I don't always depend on the Spirit of God like I should, but he's there and he's ready and he is another comforter. Think of the comfort that the Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. He looked after them. He cared for them. He made sure that none of them perished. None could pluck them out of his hand in that sense. Even when he was here on earth, he cared for his own. And now in heaven, he sent us his Spirit to care for us in the similar way while he's away. The Lord Jesus is not in this world today. He's not reigning publicly. He's reigning in the hearts of those who belong to him. And that is what we call the truth of the kingdom. The Lord said himself, "My kingdom is not of this world." But he is reigning in the hearts and lives of those who belong to him. That's the truth at the present moment of the kingdom of God. So it's a wonderful thing to have a Christian perspective, to have a look, to have an outlook that is at another man. The Christian's outlook is to another man in another world, and we're looking for another day. The Christian lives in the future. We look to the coming of the Lord, to being with him where he is, and leaving this poor, sad, weary world. The world when you're young is very, seems, and probably is, very attractive. But there is one who is more attractive, and that's the Lord Jesus. Think of the glory of a perfect, holy man. Think of, as you read the Gospels, you read about one who was here on earth in the coming to manhood and yet displaying total perfection. Everything the Lord did and said was as directed of his God and Father. Nothing he did was independent of God. And how often much of what I do and you do is independent of God. The Lord never was like that. We have the example of a perfect holy man on earth. But more than that, he is now in heaven. And I would desire to leave a simple impression with you of where the Lord is now. He's been here, he's suffered here, he's died here, his precious blood has been shed here, and your sins are forgiven here. But now the Lord is in heaven, and we look upon one who is risen, living, and ascended, and the sight of him in glory changes us. We all, looking on the glory of the Lord with unveiled face, are transformed. You see, at the present moment, that we don't see the Lord on earth. We read about him where he was, but we look at him where he is. And I think it's an important thing to get some appreciation of it while we're young, that we look upon the Lord where he is. It's not exactly where he was. We have the record of where he was and what he did, and the Gospels are all important. But we actually look on the Lord where he is now. And that's what draws us to heaven. We have an outlook that is heavenly. The church has failed publicly because it has not had its eye on Christ in glory. It said, you read the addresses it to the seven assemblies in Revelation, and it begins with Ephesus, "Thou hast left thy first love." They had got their eye off Christ in glory and his love for them. and I would commend my Saviour to you. And commend, too, that you should develop a heavenly outlook. Look to heaven for guidance. Look to him where he is. And the blessed Holy Spirit here below will guide you. The Lord said to his own, he shall guide you all into all the truth. He shall receive of the things of me and bring them to you. We had an experience of that this afternoon. And you can have an experience of it every day personally and as you meet with Christians. So we have much blessing, much good, and things to go in for. And I would commend my Saviour to you. The Apostle Peter never regretted following the Lord Jesus. He failed him. I failed him many times. But the Lord Jesus loved him, and he loves me, and he loves you. And he'll see you through. He will be with you every step of the way. May you come to know this wonderful person and come into the blessing that many in this room have come into. For his name's sake. Amen.